Hello, this is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today is Fred of M14 Stock fame. We're going to talk about accuracy from apple seeds. Don't be bewildered. Our guest will explain everything. Fred is one of the founders of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, the group which is pushing its new apple seed program. Fred, how does the apple seed project work?
Well, the apple seed project is a way to wake people up to the tradition that used to exist in this country. We used to call ourselves the Nation of Riflemen. I dare say probably not many people would refer to our country in those terms anymore. It's probably best summed up by the RVA slogan, which we find on all of our shirts, which says, April 19, 1775, when marksmanship met history and the tradition began. So the Appleseed Project is a way of not only awakening people up to the importance of the tradition of riflery, but also a way of waking them up to a different tradition, and that's the history that started this country back on April 19, 1775.
Well, why is the program called Appleseed?
The Appleseed arose out of the concept of planting the seeds of marksmanship across the country. And it actually, of course, came from another folk hero of American fame, and that is Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed traveled across the country planting apple seeds, not for himself, but more for future generations, so that Americans in later years would be able to have the benefits of apples. Well, likewise, we, the RWVA instructors, are traveling America and conducting rifle marksmanship clinics in the hopes of planting seeds that will germinate for future generations. In a sense, you could say that we're awakening people now to the tradition of rifle shooting with the hope and the expectation that in the process of doing so, we'll pass this on to the next generation. When you think about it, a tradition is only a tradition as long as it passes on to the later generation, and a tradition can stop any time a generation fails to pass it on. I would say that for the last few generations, rifle shooting as a as an activity has certainly been declining in this country, so the last few generations have been doing an increasingly bad job of making sure that that tradition passes on.
Tell me how the Appleseed Project will make Americans more accurate shooters, and what is an Appleseed Weekend like?
The Appleseed Project will make Americans more accurate shooters by teaching them how to shoot a rifle. And we do that on what we call an Appleseed Weekend. We actually have ongoing this year what we call the 2006 Nationwide Appleseed Tour. So far, we've had stops in North Carolina in February, stops in Kentucky in March. We'll be in Langhorne, Pennsylvania on April the 8th and 9th. We'll be in Indiana, or in Evansville, on April the 29th and 30th. From there, we go to two stops in Wyoming, one on May the 13th and 14th in Guernsey. And then one on Memorial Weekend, I think that's the 27th, the 28th, and 29th of May. That will be in Worland. And then we go to Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, on June the 10th and the 11th. And on June the, I think it's the 24th and 25th, we'll be in Birmingham, Alabama. These Appleseed Weekends are usually both Saturday and Sunday. People don't have to sign up for both days, but we do recommend that they sign up for both days because on Saturday we dip them in the pool of marksmanship, and we feel like they'll benefit more if they get a second dunking on Sunday. Saturday is a day of 25-meter shooting where we shoot at reduced targets, which represent targets at 100, 200, 300, and 400 yards, but we shoot them 82 feet away. And it's interesting to see a lot of people who scoff at that notion, who get on the line, put their front sight on the target, and they suddenly discover that those targets 82 feet away are very, very small. and they're very hard to hit. And if you're going to hit them, you have to be able to apply the fundamentals of firing the shot in order to hit them, which, of course, is the whole purpose of the Appleseed program, which is to teach people the fundamentals of firing the shot.
We should mention that all the dates you gave are for the year 2006.
2006, nationwide.
All right.
Appleseed Tour, and if anybody wants to check on those dates, because we're adding new dates all the time, we actually have a date in Montana. September will be Pennsylvania. October will be in Texas, and we have some other dates that we're working on now. But they can go to www.rwva.org, click on the forum, and the first thing that will pop up will be the Appleseed calendar. Now, you ask about what an Appleseed weekend is like, and I mentioned about Saturday, which is primarily 25-meter shooting. Sunday is a review, at least in the morning, of what you learn on Saturday. In the afternoon, though, we transition into longer distance. It'll depend on the actual facility, how far we transition. But we'll transition at least to 100 yards. And in most cases, we'll transition to 200, 300, and 400 yards.
How would someone sign up for one of these weekends?
Well, signing up is pretty easy. If you're online, you go to www.rwva.org. And when you click on the forum in the Appleseed calendar, it will direct you to a pre-registration sheet, which you can print out and mail in. If you're not online, you can simply send a self-addressed stamped envelope to RWVA at P.O. Box 756, Ramseur, that's Ramseur, North Carolina, 27316. And we'll send you the form by return mail.
What kind of costs are involved?
The program runs $45 for the first day, and the weekend is $75. If you sign up for both days, you get the free Appleseed T-shirt.
And what does that have on it, an Appleseed or an apple?
Well, actually, it has the RWVA logo on the front, along with the RWVA slogan, the April 19, 1775. Where marksmanship met history, and the tradition began. On the back, it has the Appleseed logo, along with a list of activities that you successfully accomplished as part of the Appleseed program. The shirt is actually designed to be sort of a walking billboard for the program. Most people who come to an Appleseed program leave very enthusiastic about not only the program, but what it's trying to accomplish. And we try and make it easy for them to spread the word with these shirts.
So the shirt sort of gives the individual some bragging rights.
True.
That they survived the Appleseed program, right?
Well, they've been there and they've done that.
Okay. The $45 covers the cost of instructions. People bring their own firearms and ammunition, obviously. Do they bring their own targets, or you supply those?
No, we supply the targets. Okay. As far as rifle and ammunition, we don't really set much in the way of requirements there, except that we like people to show up with a rack-grade rifle and surplus ammo. The idea behind this program is to teach people how to shoot a rifle accurately and not to get them involved in a lot of concerns about expensive equipment. As far as the type of rifle goes, usually a semi-auto is better because there's some rapid-fire stages, but a bolt-action rifle is fun, and we've had people come with the 22 rimfire. We want to attract as many younger people to the program as possible, because after all, that's the very core of passing the tradition on. So anyone who's 20 or under can attend this program for free.
Right? 20 or under can attend it, yeah, for free. Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this, the Appleseed program?
Actually, the Appleseed program grew out of a concept from about a year ago, where, like a lot of gun owners, myself and some other people sit around and talk about how bad things are, and you know, maybe one day we'll get off our butts and do something about it. And the Appleseed program came out of that. The first one we had was in Warland, Wyoming last July. That was sort of a take it out on the road and see how it will do. And then we followed up on that with a much bigger one in Texas last October. And out of that came the notion of the 2006 nationwide tour. We originally planned to have only one stop per month. But the way it's working out, February we had one stop, March we had one stop, April we're going to have two stops, May we'll have two stops, June we've got two stops set up. We'll have one in July because we're going to pretty much take that month off, and I believe we'll probably have a couple in August also.
What response do you get from people if you ask them to compare the Appleseed program with other courses they've taken to increase their shooting skills?
Okay, I'm not sure many of the Appleseed participants have actually been to another shooting training program, but the ones who have compare us extremely favorably. And usually what we get are comments like, I've been to a shooting program where I paid $200 a day for instruction and it wasn't near as good as what I got from you guys for the $45 for one day. We set the $45 and the $70 because we want to keep this program open to everybody. We don't want to have a cost factor be a barrier. At the same time, we have to have some money coming in because we have to have the program financially viable or it won't last. We want this program to last, and we want this program to grow. Our plans for the 2007 nationwide tour are contemplating doubling the number of stops over the 2006 program. And I suspect that once we get to the 2008 year, we will double again, because there's a lot of people out there that need this program.
Well, there's no doubt about that. What are some of the obstacles that you face?
The main obstacle is getting the word out to people. A lot of people who subscribe to Shotgun News read Fred's column, and that's where they mainly get their information about, at least their initial information about the Appleseed program. There are a few people who come to our website, the one I mentioned earlier, rwva.org, and pick up information about the Appleseed program there. Sometimes they hear about it through other websites. But our primary obstacle right now is to get the word out to people who would like to participate in this program.
Do you think that you're going to make a difference going out and helping people learn about a heritage and a tradition that it's going to sink in or going to pass it along to their kids?
Well, let's put it this way. You're asking me if I think the Titanic can be prevented from sinking. That's a question I'm not sure I can answer. But I do know that if I start sticking buckets down in the hole where the water is and start heaving them over the side, that I am doing my part to help it not sink. And if we can get enough people lowering those buckets into the hole and pulling them out and bailing over the side, it just may be that the Titanic won't sink. But as somebody told me the other day, and I actually got the analogy from him, he said, "Fred, if the Titanic winds up sinking, despite our best efforts, at least by going through this program, we have lifeboats that we can get in." And this fellow pointed out that skill in rifle marksmanship could be like a life preserver. So the program offers no guarantees, but the program does say, if you do your part, and if enough people participate in the program and do their part, yes, we can save the Titanic.
This is Talking to America. Our guest today is Fred of Fred's M14 Stocks. He's talking about the Appleseed Tour and teaching Americans how to once again become great riflemen. You know, you had sent me a note, and you were talking about the AQT, and I don't really understand that. Can you elaborate?
The AQT stands for the Army Qualification Test, and it's the basic course of fire that we use in terms of training people. And the benefit of the AQT is that it tests your shooting skills from several positions, standing, sitting, and prone. Also, it tests you slow fire and rapid fire. But the biggest benefit of the AQT is that when you get done, you have a numerical score that you can compare with the military standard to evaluate how well you shoot. The military classifies people with the best shooters going into the expert category. The good shots go into the sharpshooter category. the decent shots go into the marksman category, and then there's an unqualified category. The goal of our program, and I've got years of experience in terms of teaching rifle marksmanship, so I think the goal is obtainable by everyone, is to train people to the expert level.
And where do the folks go who don't qualify?
In the course of an Appleseed weekend, some folks will qualify. Some will qualify on Saturday, some will qualify on Sunday. We don't guarantee that anyone will qualify to the expert level on the Appleseed weekend. But we do guarantee that if they will take the information they've learned on that weekend, and when they go back home, they practice it. If they persist, they will qualify as an expert rifleman. In fact, the EQT program is associated with another motto that we have used, and that is to ask people, are you a cook or a rifleman? The lesson there is that if you can't shoot well enough, maybe you'd be better served being a cook. But if you don't want to be back in the cooking pots, if you want to be up front with the big guys, then you should learn to shoot your rifle.
I guess George Washington would agree with you. Is there a new classification of the AQT?
Well, actually, you just named it. We have several variations of the AQT. We have the 25-meter version, which is shot at 25 meters, of course. We have the full-size AQT, which is what we try where range facilities allow it. On Sunday, we try and let people shoot a full-distance AQT. That would be at 100, 200, 300, and 400 yards. And the lesson we drive home when they do that is that the stuff they learn on Saturday and Sunday morning at 25 meters translates into downrange performance out to 400 yards. It's a good lesson to learn. Now, the AQT, which you just referred to, the classification AQT, is a sort of a new gimmick. We've taken the AQT and actually stripped it down to just the four basic targets, and it's two shots per target, so it's a total of eight rounds. And by applying the scoring, which is on the target itself, you come up with a numerical score which allows you to evaluate your shooting ability. It'll tell you whether you shoot up to Army expert standards, Army sharpshooter standards, or Army marksmanship standards. So the classification AQT allows you to measure your shooting ability in eight shots.
What type of rifles are usually used or brought to these matches most often? Are they 30 caliber, 22 caliber?
And I'm estimating now, but sort of in order of frequency, you find the Garands and the M1As probably at the top of the list, closely followed by the AR-15s. And then after that, you get mostly SKSs. You occasionally find an AK clone. And then you get down to people who bring bolt actions. Actually, you never know. I've seen a 1941 Johnson. I've seen an 1895 straight pull Steyr. I've seen Swiss rifles. British Enfields are always a good choice because they're very rapid in rapid fire. And then, of course, we see people who shoot 22 rimfire. It makes no difference to us. The idea is that we want you there to learn marksmanship. And the AQT and our course of our program of instruction is totally independent of caliber and totally independent of rifle. In fact, it's totally independent of sights. If you have trouble seeing with iron sights, you're welcome to bring a scope. That's not a problem. Now, we recommend, if possible, that you come with iron sights, because learning with iron sights is like learning to drive a car stick shift. You can later drive the rest of your life with an automatic, but if you automatic transmission. But if you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to use a stick shift, if you learn on a stick shift, you won't have any problem. So that's why we recommend that if you can, you come with iron sights. Likewise, if you have a bipod, we ask you not to bring the bipod because you're not going to learn. You're not going to learn much shooting off a bipod. You need to learn using a sling and in the traditional prone position. And again, it's a stick shift kind of an analogy. If you learn that way, something happens to your bipod, it won't stop you from shooting accurate shots.
You mentioned learning from the prone position. I assume people should bring their own shooting mats.
Shooting mats are a good idea. There's a lot of things you should bring. Clothing appropriate for the weather. One thing that you absolutely must positively bring are earmuffs and earplugs, because most people are not used to shooting on a firing line where there may be anywhere from 20 to 80 people firing at the same time. And it gets a trifle noisy, especially in the rapid fire stage. You can have several thousand rounds go down range in the course of 60 seconds. And when most of those rounds are 30 caliber, you can imagine that you can benefit from both earmuffs and earplugs. So anybody who comes from Appleseed should have both. In terms of other things to bring, elbow pads are always good. Even if you bring a mat, your elbows tend to get sore during the day. If you have a cloth shooting jacket, that's always good. Bring food and water. Some of these places we go are improvised ranges, and while we will have a port-a-john there, chances are there's not going to be a lot in the way of food and water. As I said, clothing appropriate for the weather. It's also a very good idea to bring a pen and a notebook, because we dump so much on you that you're going to have to take a few notes just to help you remember later on. We'll have plenty of handouts for you on how to fire the shot, what are the checkpoints for the various positions. So that part will be covered, but you'll probably want to take some notes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, the kind of folks who make it up, and size of it perhaps, and to their long-range goals?
The RWVA arose out of a former club, and it's based on considerable experience in terms of associating with gun clubs. When we formed this club, we decided we wanted a club that would promote the tradition. And it seemed the best way to do that is to combine the history aspect of it with the marksmanship aspect of it. And one of the things that we try and do in the Appleseed program and in the RWVA club itself is promote the notion that people need to learn something about their Revolutionary War history. And not just in general, specifically about that first day, April 19, 1775, because that's a day when Americans took firearms and fought for liberty. And that's a crucial day in the history of this country. It's a day that every American should at least know something about it. It's a day that was a complicated day. Most Americans get just a vague notion in the educational system that it was a bunch of farmers that went out and shot it out with a bunch of redcoats. And the truth is far, far more complicated than that. What those guys did back then was an achievement and an accomplishment that, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't believe we could do it if we had to do it again today. Now, your local library has books specifically on the first day of the American Revolution. There's a ton of books out there on the first day. There's a mountain of information about what happened that day along Battle Road. And I would suggest that anybody who has the slightest interest would go to his local library, go to the librarian who's paid to help you, and ask them to find you a book on the first day of the American Revolution. Check it out and read it. You'll be amazed and you'll be astounded. Those people back then didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers. Some of them didn't even have regular telephones. And yet in a space of a few hours, they alerted 14,000 people who marched toward the British column. It's quite an accomplishment, and 200 years later, 200 plus years later, you almost hold your breath in admiration for what those guys did.
It was a day that a lot of boys became men. There's a film, by the way, called April Morning that people might want to try to get their hands on and watch. It takes the first day of the battle, and it just focuses on that. The things that you're talking about. Is there anything else you'd like to tell people before we wrap this up, including give out your contact information again?
Well, I'd certainly like to encourage anybody who has any interest in the Appleseed program to go to www.rwva.org and browse the website there. And before you leave, click on the forum and read some of the comments that are made by people who have been participants in the Appleseed program. Many of them, after they have left from an Appleseed event, will go to our website and post their experiences. And it's the best way you can find out what goes on in Appleseed and whether you might want to participate in one. If you are not online, I would suggest that you locate a copy of Shotgun News. And as far as I know, they're on the not only on regular newsstands, but you should find them in a Walmart. And there's very few people in this country who don't live within driving distance of a Walmart. And I would simply go to a Walmart, pick up Shotgun News, turn to Fred's ad in there, where you'll find Fred's column, and you'll be able to read up about the Appleseed program. The Appleseed program is a program that can save America, but it's a program that depends on the people who come to it. If you come to an Appleseed program, you'll be part of our effort to save America. The program will be a success or it will be a failure depending on whether you come. It's important that you come to this program.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. This has been Talking to America. Our guest has been Fred of Fred's M14 Stocks. He's talking about the Appleseed program where Americans could become, once again, great riflemen. I would like to remind all of you, if you don't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talking to America is a production of JPFO.org.